Well, we know very well the story of Exodus chapter 3, where the Lord met Moses by revelation and by revealing himself out of the midst of the burning bush. The Lord revealed himself to Moses here, and we know this story so well, and we're reminded of it every single week. As we visit our churches, we see this image of the bush, of this burning bush at the front of the pulpits. Now, sometimes you'll see in that image at the front of the pulpits a Latin motto that means says "Ardens sed barrens." Now, "Ardens sed barrens" simply means burning yet flourishing, and this reminds us here of this episode where Moses sees a bush that is on fire, and despite the fact that the bush is on fire, the bush is not consumed, and the fire continues to flourish. And this here simply shows us here that the fire was not taking its fuel from the bush, but that this was a supernatural event, and that this fire was burning, and it would burn forever had the Lord willed it at that time. And we see this here phrase in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2, that there reminds us of this great fact. Because it says the bush burned with fire and the bush was not consumed. And so Moses right away was curious as to what was happening. And we see a bush that is on fire, we would naturally expect that it would be consumed. And we would naturally expect that this fire would take its fuel from this bush. And yet it is not the case here. So Moses is curious, and his curiosity is heightened as he goes here closer to this bush, and all of a sudden, not only is there this phenomenon in front of his eyes, but there is a voice that comes out of the midst of it. Moses hears a voice that summons him to come closer and to meet with the Lord. You see, this is exactly what has happened here in Exodus chapter 3. Moses is about to encounter God. Moses is about to meet the Lord. The Lord here is calling Moses to himself in order that he might reveal himself, in order that he might reveal his will unto him. You see, every time you see this in the Old Testament, every time you see the Lord coming and meeting with his people, whether it be in the form of this fire, whether it be the pillar of cloud, whether it be through a temporary human form, every time God meets with his people in such a way, God is revealing himself. He's revealing his person, and he's revealing his will. Now, the Lord here makes a wonderful revelation of himself in Exodus 3, verse 14. Because he says there unto Moses, "I am that I am." And so the first thing, or one of the first things that Moses here learns about the Lord is that the Lord is self-existent. The Lord was, the Lord is, and the Lord always will be. The Lord has always been. He is not a creature like us. He is far above us, and he has existed for all of eternity. And what a wonderful fact it is that the Lord is a self-existent one. He is the one who is the creator. We are the creatures, and we rely on him for all things. Moses meets the great I am here. He meets with God, and he learns something about God. And I would say to you, when you come together today in the car park, as you park your cars, you come to meet with God. You come to know more about who God is and what God's will is. And I would ask you then this morning, what do you know of the Lord as he has revealed himself in his word? Who is the God we adore and the God we worship? Here is an even greater question. Would we not want to be like Moses here and meet with God in such a way that we learn something new about him? We learn a new great truth. We learn a new great duty. We learn what the Lord wants of us. Is that what you want this morning as you come to the house of God? Well, Moses got that when he met the great I am. And in verse 3 of Exodus chapter 3, Moses says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Moses determined he was going to go there and see the great sight. And brethren and sisters, will we not turn aside today and say, I will see this great sight. By the eye of faith, I will meet with God today. Well, there are many lessons we can learn from this passage of Scripture as we go down it here this morning in Exodus 3. As we consider this great fact of Moses meeting the great I Am. Moses meeting the great I Am. What does he learn about the Lord here as he meets him in the burning bush? Well, first thing Moses learns here about the Lord is that the Lord is holy. The Lord is holy. Now, it was the Lord who initiated this meeting with Moses and himself. Moses went to the backside of the desert, the Bible tells us. And in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4, we see the voice of God because he says, Moses, Moses. So the Lord calls him here. The Lord speaks to him that he might draw near and that he might be blessed by a revelation of God. And go to verse 5 of Exodus 3 with me, because the Lord here reveals something about himself. He says there, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. You see, Moses got so far, and the Lord said, you can only go that far now. And before you take a step further into my presence, take off the shoes from off your feet, because you're now about to enter holy ground. Essentially, the Lord was saying to Moses, you're now about to enter into a holy place. And what made this place holy? What was special about this place in the backside of the desert? Because in verse 1 of Exodus 3, this place is called the Mountain of God. And what made it so special then? What made it a place that it could be called holy? What made it a place where it was set apart as a special place? As the Lord would reveal himself here and in future days to his people, well, what made it a holy place, very simply, brethren and sisters, is this, that God was there. If God had not been there, it was not a holy place. It was just any other place. But the great reality was that the Lord was there. The great God of heaven had revealed himself by that fire in the bush as God was there. Moses then was in a holy place. Now, what does holiness mean? Well, the Bible gives us an idea that holiness has the thought of God's purity, of his freedom from sin and all that is evil. Yes, there's that idea, but also when we go to the Bible, we learn that not only is there this idea, but there's this idea that the Lord is set apart from his creatures and he's high above his creatures. That's what holiness involves. God is not a creature. He's apart from his creatures. And he's above his creatures. He's transcendent over us. Now keep that thought in your mind. Because if God is separate from you, and he's transcendent above you, then he is a greater being than you could ever wish to be. And God is the greatest being of all. God is the great creator of heaven and earth. God is the self-existent one. God is the all-powerful one. When we consider who God is our hearts not filled with awe and with wonder? Because Moses realized now, the place where I'm going to enter is the place where God dwells, the great transcendent one. Unlike me, a creature, he is the God of heaven and earth, the great I Am. And we must emphasize this fact in modern times. Because there is a branch of Christianity that seeks to bring God very low. They seek to bring God to a place where they almost consider him to be like a buddy or a friend. These are the terms that they're using in the place of prayer. And yes, we can say that God is our Father. We can say that we are his children, but we must understand that God is not a creature. But God is the great Holy One. Now, Exodus 15 and 11, when Moses realized this, in Exodus 15:11, yes, when Moses had this in his heart, he says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods?" Moses was making a comparison. Who is like unto God among the gods? Because these false gods were gods of material and of stone and of the image of man. But the Lord is not like that. Because Moses said, "Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Do we see the great fact that is put before us? God is separate from us and he's high above us. The great Holy One. The Bible tells us when Moses realized this, verse 6, it says he was afraid to look upon God. This was a godly fear of Moses. Moses had a proper attitude towards the Lord. He was full of awe and he was full of wonder. He realized here that this was the great God of heaven and of earth. Moses had a right attitude and Moses had proper action as he entered into the presence of God. Now I know we're not strictly in the meeting house today. We're not in our pew. We're not in our normal place. You're in this car park. You're in your car this morning. But I will tell you this, something I'm absolutely sure of. I know that as I look at each individual car, as I look at this gathering here today, that God is in the midst of us. Matthew 18:20, these words we know so well, the words of Christ. He says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." We're gathered together in his name, and therefore Christ is in the midst of us. And we know very well that if Christ is in the midst of us, then God is here. God is here this morning. God is at every gathering of his people, and therefore the place where you sit in your car is a holy place. Because the Lord's there. And the Lord's here. And therefore when we get this revelation into our hearts, we realize that when we come to a gathering like this, this is no ordinary place. This is not the normal places that we go to in our daily lives. No, this is a special place because the Lord is here. It's a holy place, and therefore we ought to have the right heart, the right attitude as we enter into the presence of God. That is absolutely essential this morning. Moses took off the shoes from off his feet. He was ready to go and to meet with the Lord in a holy place. And what have we done this morning to prepare ourselves to meet with God? Have we sought his face? Have we got the heart right? Have we got ourselves ready to worship him and to hear his word? What has been our response to the fact that we come to the house of God this morning? Because this is a holy place. In Genesis 35, there's a few verses there. He's given us a wonderful illustration of a man who got himself ready to meet with God. It says in Genesis 35, verse 1 to 3, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." So firstly we see the Lord is telling Jacob, you're going to come to a place now where you're going to build an altar. You're going to prepare yourself to worship me. You're going to come into my presence. You're going to go to a holy place. And look what Jacob does when he realizes this. It says, "Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments." You see what Jacob does there? He prepares himself. He prepares his heart. He prepares everything, his household, to go to meet with God. And friend, before we come to the house of God, before we come to the drive-in service, we ought to have ourselves ready to be here. The heart ought to be ready. The soul ought to be keen and aware that they're in the presence of a holy God. Let us always be mindful of that. Let us fill our hearts then with awe and with love and with adoration for him as we go in to his holy presence. The Lord is holy, but we also see from this text that the Lord is revealed in a person. The Lord has revealed in a person. You see, the fact is that God met with Moses here. We know that already. But we know very well that God here met Moses by one of the persons of the Trinity. See, what we see here in Exodus chapter 3 is the appearance of the second person. This is the Son of God meeting with Moses. This is the Lord Jesus Christ before his incarnation meeting with Moses. Now, how do we know that? Well, Exodus 3 verse 2 says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush." Now, we know here that the angel of the Lord is Christ. It is not just an ordinary angel, because later on this here angel of the Lord is called God himself. And so this word angel here in verse number 2 means messenger. So essentially this verse is saying, "And the messenger of the Lord appeared unto him." And you see, the Lord reveals himself through a messenger. You'll see that in the Bible very clearly. The Lord reveals himself to you today in a lesser sense through me. I am the messenger, I am his mouthpiece. And so in the Old Testament he revealed himself through messengers, and the greatest messenger of all was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he appears many times in the Old Testament, whether it's in a temporary human form, whatever form he appears unto man, to reveal something of God and to reveal something of his will. And that here fits in very well with what the Bible says to us, that the Lord reveals himself in the Son. Now, Malachi 3 and 1 further gives us that there revelation, because it says, "Behold, I will send my messenger," this is speaking of John the Baptist, "I will send John the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord," this is the Messiah, Jesus Christ, "whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant." And so we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ is the messenger. He reveals God's will. He reveals God's person. He reveals to us so much about the Lord that is necessary for our salvation. And in Exodus 3 and 4, we read these words, "God called unto him out of the midst of the bush." And so we see here that there is the voice of God. And every time, brother or sister, you read about the voice of God, you're reading about the second person of the Trinity. You're reading about the messenger of God coming. Now you think of this. I come this morning and give you a message. You will say, "After he brought us a word." Now, what does the Bible say about Christ? John 1 and 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You see, here is the truth we must get into our hearts, that God is revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John 1 and 18 says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." So Jesus Christ is the great revelation of God. He reveals so much to us about the Lord's purpose and the Lord's person. And I'll say to every believer here this morning, you want to know God. You want to know how to live as a Christian. You want to know how to do all of these things. Well, then you must be spoken to by Jesus Christ, the messenger of God, the second person of the Trinity. And you say, "How does he speak to me?" He speaks through the Bible. He speaks through his precious word. This word that you hold in your hands this morning is the word of Christ. Every single word is his word, is his voice. And when you read the Bible then, be very aware that God is speaking with you. The second person is bringing you a message. And how you need a message. And how you ought to cling to a message from God, that you might live your life live a life that is glorifying to him. You must see God in the face of his Son. And what does Christ reveal so much? Or how does Christ reveal God in the scriptures? We see it so often. At the cross of Calvary, is that not a revelation of the love of God? Did Christ not tell us what the Lord was going to do in the future? Does Christ not tell us what the Lord expects of us? Does Christ not tell us that He is the only begotten Son? Christ makes all of these revelations about God, and therefore we ought to cling to every single one of them. And I ask you this morning then, brother or sister, when was the last time you heard the voice of God? I mean, as you read the Bible, when was the last time you got a message for your heart and for your soul? Are we those people that just skim over it? Read it to quiet the conscience, and yet we don't go seeking Christ and seeking a message and seeking something for the will of God in our lives. You say, what is His will for me? Well, then you ought to know what His word says. And there He will speak to you and let you know the will of God. God reveals Himself to you through Christ. And I'll say to someone who is not saved here this morning, as you come into the presence of a great holy God, the Bible reveals you're not holy. And as you think to yourself, how can I approach such a God as this? You go to the person whom He has revealed. You go to Jesus Christ. You will find God only in Him. You'll find salvation only in Him. The Lord has declared and set forth Jesus Christ. I want to read one verse to you from Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 8. And this illustrates this wonderfully. We know in Genesis chapter 3 that man had fallen into sin. And you see, if the Lord had left it there, man would have never known God. If the Lord had left us in our sin, we would have all been lost forever. Yet Genesis 3 and 8 says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Adam and Eve, as soon as they sinned, they heard the voice of God. And remember what I said to you already. The voice of God is Christ. As soon as man fell, what happened? Christ came. God the Son came seeking after man, because He is their Savior. And He is the one that washes away all of their sins and continues to speak to them even unto this day through the word of God. Let the Lord reveal Himself to you and His precious word through His precious Son. One more thought out of this text. We see here then that the Lord has a purpose. The Lord has a purpose. In Exodus 3 verse 7 to 8 it says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians." We see the word of God here, and He knows the sorrows of His people. He sees that the children of Israel are in Egypt, and they are suffering great affliction by their taskmasters. He knows the sorrow that is in their heart. He knows all of these things about them. The Lord knew His people. He had not forgotten them for one single second. And I'll say to you this morning, maybe there is someone and there's sorrow in the heart. Maybe there's grief here this morning. Maybe there's something there that is burdening you and tying you down. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but there's something that you can't speak about. And yet, doesn't the Bible say here that the Lord knows? The Lord knew the way of the children of Israel. And friend, the Lord knows your way this morning. He revealed this unto Moses. He revealed that He knew all about the afflictions of His people, and He's known it with regard to His church. He knows that we're devastated, that we can't get into God's house yet. He knows that there's been so much trial and heartache and grief for each and every one of us. The Lord knows all of this. And yet the Lord had a purpose for His people. So easy to say this morning to you, but understand that the Lord has His purpose. He had a purpose to redeem the children of Israel, and He has a purpose that centers around your salvation. Maybe this is a time where the Lord is changing you and molding you. Maybe this is a time where the Lord is making us more grateful for the privileges that we had in the past to just walk into God's house. We don't know, but the Bible tells us the Lord has a purpose. And as He has a purpose, dear friend, you need to trust the Lord. Little did the children of Israel know that the Lord was sending their deliverer. Little did they know that he was working behind the scenes. They did not see this. Yet the Lord was working and the Lord was moving. And I'll say to you this morning, you don't know how the Lord is working and moving in your situation at this time. Don't know what he has planned. But you know that the Lord has something good. Because his will is good. And his wisdom is perfect. And he will be faithful to his people unto the very end. You know, in Exodus 3 verse 6, the Lord reveals this to Moses. He says, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. You see, he was their God. And the same God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is our God. And was he faithful to them? Yes, because the language here in Exodus 3 is in the present tense. And look at what the Savior says about these verses. He says in Mark 12, verse 26 to 27, and as touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. The Savior is speaking about the resurrection of the dead. And he says here that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were alive at that time because they were with the Lord. And as God was their God, and as he was faithful to them and taking them to eternal glory of fulfilling all that he said unto them, is he not our God? The God who will be faithful to us. The God that promises that though we may go down those valleys of sorrow, though we may go into circumstances that we can't understand, the Lord says, I have a purpose, and I am a faithful God, and I will see to it that in the end of all things, you will be with me, and you will receive all that I have promised unto you. It was the great God here who revealed himself to Moses. The Lord who is holy. The Lord who is revealed in a person. The Lord who has a purpose. May the Lord who has revealed himself to us today bless all of our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen.